Some pretty powerful photos and images. And yes, we are all volunteers, so we just had to find a way to see that one there. So it's tricky. But last weekend, you know, Mike and I went down to Philadelphia to that Kensington neighborhood. And, you know, the best part was literally getting to know Michael better. I mean, this guy has a heart for God. And it was just a blessing to be able to fellowship with him on the way down and you know, really get to know him more and see how he can help us. And not just only that, but just learn what he's been through and all of that. It was just really awesome. But I'd be lying, though, if I told you that it was all fun, because it really, really wasn't. I saw a lot of things. I saw a lot of things that I wish I never did see. And a lot of it really triggered my own cycle of addiction, because God knows that I'm not perfect. I'm obviously doing this for a reason. Unimaginable things from the pictures that you just saw. I mean, the good part about it, though, was that I saw a lot of Jesus there. Praise the Lord. I saw numerous baptisms. I met and talked with so many awesome people. So many of God's children were there, all of them. And we were able to get a few, like it said in the video, out to get help that they needed. I saw four overdoses while I was there, four overdoses. And a really quick story, it's so desensitized out there. And this is partly why I wanted to bring this into Manchester, because Manchester isn't as bad as Philadelphia, clearly, but it could be really, really quickly. It's trending. So, overdosed woman right in front of us, and I run to the closest ambulance, and I'm knocking on the window, and I say, "Hey, we gotta go. Let's go. Let's go." All right, let's roll down the window, like it was not a time of wasn't of essence for him. Window goes down. Do you see that ambulance about 100 yards away? Yeah. Well, go tell them. That's what they're here for. That's what I was met with. So I ran. I was running. Again. All right, well, where is it? It's 100 yards away, man. Please hurry. All right. He looks at his partner and he says, all right. So they break it all out. Took them at least 5 minutes to get to where we were going, plus the additional 3 minutes. So I'm thinking this woman might not make it. Two needles in our can, she woke up. Praise the Lord. You know, like I said, it was a lot of bad things, but the good things were so prevalent there. I mean, you could see it, and it was just amazing. The reason that I want to bring this up to you guys is because I want you guys to be able to witness what the good parts are when we do the event in Manchester. I want you guys to all see it. And, you know, everybody has trauma problems, and everybody here is somehow broken, but I'm just genuinely asking for your help. So my hope is for you guys to all get witnessed and transformed by Jesus working those miracles on that weekend. We need help in any way possible. Daily prayers, please, please. That's the biggest one, honestly. Volunteering. You know, Church Center is now set up. So if you guys see it, and I was actually talking with Peter, my phone looks different than Peter's phone for some reason on Church Center, but I'm guessing that's somebody that you know who. The donations are obviously very big. You know, we need the donations. So if you can, and if it's in your heart, we'll always be here, and we'll be helping everybody else with everything that we can. So I just wanted to say thank you for listening, and I want to have Mike come up and share his little story.
Amen. That's great.
It's on.
Yeah. So as Tom said, it was quite an experience for myself. Also, I really don't want to focus on the negative because that brings me to crying every time. So it's like, it's all bad. It's real bad. And like Tom was saying, I honestly feel that is what we saw there is what's to come. As time progresses, it sure seems like Manchester is not quite that way, but it is heading that way. And you can just see things in the spiritual realm heading in that way. So really what I want to talk about is the good things that Tom was talking about that happened down there. And what it meant for me was, so it was really hot too that day. It was like, man, it finally stopped raining. So it was really hot. And of course, I didn't bring my sunscreen. So I'm going to actually start at the end. So at the end of the day, we're going to stay with Tom and Mindy's friends, Steve and Kelly. And we got there. I mean, I was exhausted. It was hot and I was tired. You're in a spiritual battle all day. And so we get there and Kelly's asking me questions and stuff. And I'm like, Kelly, before we even go any further, I got to take a shower, man. I need a shower. I feel like I can't even touch you. I'm a very touchy person. So, you know, I'm holding on to some of these street people and heaven only knows what, you know, I mean, it's dangerous, really. So I take my shower and I come down and then Tom goes up to take a shower. And as I'm sitting there, and I got a nice glass of cold water. She's looking at me, and I'm looking at her, and I'm like, Kelly, you're not going to even believe this. She goes, before I could even say it, she looks at me, and she goes, it was really loud, wasn't it? I said, yeah, it is really loud. And, I mean, I've been at some rock concerts, and, I mean, he's got that volume cranked. And I'm like, I'm actually getting a little bit disturbed by it. I mean, I can't even stand. I got hearing aids, so I'm fighting that the whole time. I get up front, close to the stage. I'm turning off my hearing aids. I walk away. I'm like, Tom's like, are you going to stay up here? No, I got to get way back there because this thing is like obnoxious to me in some ways. But as you saw, I don't know if you could put that thing up there, Ethan, the one girl, I think she's sitting down. Yeah. Yeah, her name is Maria. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. But so her name is Maria. This is just one of many stories. I mean, as Tom said, it was different because in Manchester, I say a lot of the same things to those people out on the street in Manchester as I did down there. So even when I got home, I was asking the Lord, when I was talking with Kelly and she said it was loud and she goes, there's something in the spirit about that, isn't there? I said, you know what? You're right. And I was really thinking about that. So just imagine, so you got this thing cranked up, and people are getting up there, giving testimonies, great music, but the name of Jesus is proclaimed at, I don't know, 100,000 watts. So as we're talking to this girl, again, I'm getting frustrated. I almost got to the point where I told Tom, I said, I feel like telling Billy to turn it down. I can't even hear this girl. So I'm a little frustrated. So we're just making small talk, and I just kind of lose my sense of, you know, what to say. So I get close, and we're kind of close. Tom's standing right there, and she's sitting in that chair, and I just grab her arm, and I'm looking at her. She wasn't wearing Tom's sunglasses at that point. And I'm looking at her, and I go, you know what? I just want to tell you, Jesus loves you so much, man. Jesus just loves you. And she's looking at me right in my eyes, and I said, I love you so much. And she's looking, and I could tell that she's kind of believing me. And so we're kind of small talking again, and I got really close again, and I'm holding her arm, and I said the same thing. I said, Jesus loves you so much. I love you, and I'm not you know what? I'm not saying this just because saying it. And it's like she looks at me, and she goes, I feel it from you guys. I feel it. And she goes, I want help. Help me. And at that point, praise the Lord, it's nothing to do with me or Tom. That was Jesus. I mean, she heard it for 6 hours. You got this thing blasting. And how I see it, it's all about the spiritual realm. You know, we talk about battling the demons. I'll tell you what, they can't stand the name of Jesus. For 6 hours, this thing is just blasting. And you heard one preacher. Well, I'll tell you what, there was a guy, WWE, and that's another story in itself, how somebody we were talking to, and I told him, well, go listen to this guy. This guy is WWE, and he's, right, Jesus. And I'm like, whoa, hey, dude. Like, wild, you know? So another couple, I mean, after listening to him, they come back, you know, I don't want to go into that. Stay with this story. I get discombobulated here, but a lot of stories to say, and I could tell you one thing for sure. That made a big difference because I have not, only one time in Manchester in almost a year that somebody has come that quick. I mean, there was another dude, same thing. You just, dude, are you, yeah, I'm ready. I'm like, wow, really? So I'll tell you what, when you come, not if you come, to the event up in New Hampshire, I'm going to tell Billy, I don't know how loud this thing goes, but I want it at the max. Because I'm going to tell you right now, my heart is that that's going to blast the demons right there, right into the Merrimack River, and it's going to take them to the ocean. And I'll tell you what, the demons cannot take it. They can't take the proclamation of Jesus Christ. At that volume, they can't take it. And I'll tell you, I'm praying that the whole west side of Manchester hears this. They're going to hear this thing at such volume that they can't take it. And that's the only way I can see that there can be truly revival, is that it can't take the name of Jesus. You know, and then the lesson that I personally got in my own life, I got home and it's like, all right, I'm, you know, processing this whole thing. And then I heard Jesus, like he was saying to me, Mike, I want you to turn up the volume. I go, what are you talking about? I want you to turn up the volume in your own life. What are you talking about? I listen to music loud, you know? I like music loud. He's not, no, that's not what I'm talking about. From the time you get up, I want you thinking about me. I want you breaking out the word. I don't mean just a little bit. You're up 16, 17 hours a day. How much do you give me? I know, Lord. I know. Not that much, right? Yeah, well, guess what? Why do you think you can't stand against the enemy? You can't stand against the enemy in your own name. It's in my name that you can stand. You need to connect with me. I always want to make connections. I want you to make connections with me. I want you to turn up the volume in your life. I want you to seek me, not just a little bit. You want to be effective in this life, you got to be willing to give it all. I mean, the Bible talks about that. You know, three times it's mentioned, you know, when to do things for the Lord, it says to give it all. Well, he's saying that. He's saying it's time. I believe the time is now. I mean, what Tom was saying, I have never seen anything like that. That is, it's pathetic, really, that we've gotten to the place that even non-Christians are comfortable with this, and they just drive around them. They're people. You know, there's one preacher was saying, they're not junk. And that's what we even said to this girl. You're not junk. You're not junk, and we love you. We care about you. But I'm just saying the Lord really laid that heavily on my heart, you know. We get together with other people and do so many things, and I'm not even saying that's wrong. But I'll tell you what, when I get together with you, I want us to pray together. I want us to open the word together. I don't want any more of this. I don't know. I just can't take that anymore. I'm going to be honest with you all. We want to make a difference in this world. I need to turn it up. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, no, I'll do it. Hey, stay up here. Mike, turn it up.
He's talking about your hearing aids.
Let's pray for these guys, for Tom and Mindy and for Mike and Kelly and for this event that's coming. Lord, we thank you for this amazing weekend. We thank you for these brothers and their wives who are just laying down their life and obeying your call, obeying what you've asked them to do. We thank you for this call in their life. We thank you that you've given them the time, the energy, the resources, and the heart for this event. We thank you for making broken things whole and using evil things for your good and for our good. And in Tom's story, all the details, it doesn't matter, but there's victory coming because this man is obeying you and he's walking with you and he is submitted to you. And thank you for the Belanger family as they're submitted to you and they're turning it up. And Lord, we just pray for this event in Manchester. Lord, bring hope. Bring hope to Manchester. We ask that you would go before and prepare hearts, the people on the street, prepare hearts of ministries, prepare hearts of local churches who will gather with us, prepare hearts of sober houses and other treatment centers who, when we call them, that they say, yes, of course we're willing to help you. This is what we're all about. We see the problem. We want to be an answer. We want to be a solution. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus, the name above every name. Lord, we give this to you, and we know that with it, you will do amazing things. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Turn it up.
Let's go. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. What's up? What is up? I asked Tom and Mike to share, and they're like, yeah. I think, I don't know where Alex is, but they're like, Alex already asked us to share. Okay. Well, you should report back, because a bunch of people had been asking about what happened down there, how it went, what it was like. And you guys, Rui's going to hate me for saying this. You should follow Hope Over America on social media. you know, if you can. I understand. If you're on social media at all, like, they got one of those was from TikTok. I'm not promoting TikTok. There are other forums, but you should follow them to get in the know. I saw some of these videos, and I was like, man, it's coming, y'all. It's coming to us. So, oh, man. I feel like I'm going to cry a lot. I don't know why. I'm just, like, very emotional. Neil's like, I'm ready. It's just been a lot. This time of year, I do a lot of reflecting on the goodness of God and all the great things in my life. I had a birthday on Friday. Thanks, man. Appreciate you. It is good to be 20. No, I'm just kidding. I'm 34. By the way, my name's Casey. For those of you who don't know me, I am not the lead pastor. I'm just a dude. I'm just a guy. I'm just hanging out. And I've been here for at River for a couple years. My wife, Allison, was playing the guitar. She plays the violin sometimes if you're here for the first time and you caught her on YouTube. Same person. She played the guitar, violin. She's great. We have two kids, Adam and Natalie, who are hopefully in the right place. I'm just very thankful to be here. We'll get into this. I'm not going to spend all day. We're going to go quick. I was telling Chris and Neil, I'm like, I widened my margins because I have so many things written down, but I'm not going to say most of it. But it's just good to be here with you guys. I'm just happy to be here. And people are like, it's so good to hang. And blah, blah. I'm just glad to be here. So just thank you to Daryl and Rachel and Adam and Monique and Chris and Paul and the whole eldership team and the leadership team, Scott and Jamie, Alex and Marguerite. People who volunteer here to make this thing run. Listen, we're all volunteers. Nobody gets a salary. Nobody gets paid. And when you walk in the door and you're just like, I can sit down and hang out or whatever, maybe you're checking out for the first time. That's what we want. But there's a lot of people who have spent a lot of time over decades at this place laying a foundation of where we are today. And you can't forget that. You can't forget that. And if you don't know the whole story, we're not here to tell the whole story. I don't even know the whole story. I've been here for a little bit. We benefit from those who have come before us. Karen, Maddie, Linda, Stu, Kim. Anybody else who's been here a while? I don't know, I'm naming names. You forgot about me. I did. Forgot your name. Sorry. Dave, that's right. Dave. You know, everybody else. It's good to see you. All right. So let's continue. We're talking about praying for our family. It's so funny. I come up here the week after Neil. The last time I did it, I was like, oh, Neil uses double-sided? And I tried to do it, and it was like, I was like, I don't even know, like, what page I'm on anymore. Like, are these things collated? I don't know if this is page one or page three. So we're going single-sided. So he's way above. He's way above my pay grade. Plus, he, like, uses words like preponderance and foibles. And he said that, and I was like, what? And Dave turns around, he's like, you gonna look that up? And I'm like, I need to look it up. What does that mean? I don't know. I'm just a guy. I studied physics and math, so I can do numbers. But let's talk about it. We're gonna look in Ephesians chapter 1. We're talking about praying for our families and really trusting God with our families. It could be, you know, your children, but think about, like, your spouse and your parents and your brother and your sister and your in-laws. And even if you're single, you have a family, that part of this body, other friends that you have, people you would consider close to you, these are all people who we need to be praying for. We need to be praying, as Neil talked about last week. You know, do you guys remember what he talked about, the things to pray for? You're looking at the book! You're looking at the book! That's right. Go ahead, Stu. Power in the inner man. Abide in the Spirit, that Christ would abide with them and that your family would abide with Christ.
Fuel the abundance of God's love.
Yes, the height and the depth and the width and the girth of
and the overwhelming capacity of Christ's love, and every other unit of measurement, that you, the length, the volume, that you would just know his love. And that is foundational in our lives. We are praying this continually. I'll be honest with you. I didn't do a great job last week of praying those things. But they are so important to continually ask God for these things in our family's lives. And for some reason, God loves to work in partnership with his people. He has chosen, in all of his sovereignty, to work with broken people to accomplish his will on earth. The good news is, friends, like when we pray for things, he hears us. Psalms 116, verse 1 to 2, I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my pleas, because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. We cannot underestimate the power of our prayer. Because let me ask you this. I'm probably going to say this 150 times. I especially think about this with my children, but even like as a husband, I have a responsibility, you know, to wash my bride with the word, and to raise my children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. But if we're just after behavioral modification, we're just like, oh, you did these things right. Oh, you don't curse. Oh, you can say the Our Father. Oh, you can, you've memorized Psalm 23, things I work on with my children and I believe in them. But there's going to come a time where you've done all you can, and then what? And then what? And then we have to trust God with our families, with our parents, with our brothers, with our children, with everybody in our life. We have a responsibility to obey those commands, to obey Ephesians 5 and how we work with our family, and to obey, you know, being the right example for people to follow, and obey Jesus. And at the end of the day, though, it's like, apart from him, we can do nothing. We have to obey these commands, and then we trust God to just use that. For some reason, that's how it works. And in your lineup, Neil was talking about a great uncle who was a born-again believer and was praying for him, or could have been praying for him. Like, who knows? In the lineage of what we've got here at River, we're the beneficiary of people who have prayed. In our life, I wonder, how am I the beneficiary of people who have prayed for me and who have gone before me? And who have just said a simple prayer. Lord, save this man. I wasn't raised in the church. I was 19 when I came to know the Lord. And so it's one of those things where, like, you just don't know how those things move the spiritual realm. But God has his ear inclined towards us. And can he do anything? You better believe he can do all. Oh, he can do all. Fall down. Don't say this one. I'm going to say it. He can do all his holy will. We're going to need a new stand. Just kidding. It's fine. A little wobbly. He can do all his holy will, but he responds to our prayers. Listen, I'm not a professional. By day, I do data. I use a computer, and I sit a lot. So I got the little hunchies going on, so I'm not a professional speaker. Anyway, I'm just saying, because I'm distracted over here. But in terms of, you know, people praying and being the beneficiary of that, at our wedding, like right after we were pronounced husband and wife, you know, you do the thing, you recess down the aisle, and then we met our family in the... Yeah, you know what it is. I don't. See, this is what I'm saying, Neil. He's like preponderance. He knows the right word. Well, I don't even want to know. You recess. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do me. I'm going to get mine. And we go into this back room, and we're met there with, you know, the girls and the guys who stand up there with you, whatever they're called, the groomsmen and the bridesmaids. And my homies. And then your parents come in and stuff. And my mother-in-law came in, and she just came up to me, just gave me this big hug, and she's just like, her face is right next to my ear. She goes, "I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you." And you know, Allison will tell you her story and the ups and downs that come with that. But in all of that, behind Allison's journey from leaving her parents' house in North Carolina, going 700 miles away to Boston, which is like the Bible Belt to the Northeast,
there was a praying mother behind that, praying for her daughter, but also for me. And I just say that to lay this out for you, that like this is not a, oh yeah, you know, prayer's kind of cool, can we think we should do it? It's like the weight and the magnitude of raising our voice and making it known in the heavens and saying, God, pulling these things out of the spiritual realm and saying, God, do this. We need you to do this. Would you do this? Would you save the people of Manchester? Would you go before us and prepare the people on the streets to come to know you? Would you give them dreams? Would you give them visions? Would you wake them up so that when we play this loud music, that it would penetrate their souls and that they would wake up and repent and turn from their evil ways, turn from their addictions, but be saved and know the one who's calling them. There is power in these things, and we need to continually do this over and over again. We are the beneficiaries of people who have prayed for us before us. And so, that's the intro. So in the first chapter of Ephesians, Paul is talking about the blessings of redemption, and he's talking about this letter. Like, he's been to Ephesus. These people are very spiritual people, and he's like, listen, you guys, in the first verses 1 to 14, I'm not going to read it, but just like, blessed be the God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and he chose us, and he called us in Christ, and we have this inheritance, and we've been sealed by this Holy Spirit, and I preached to you, and you believed, and you received the Spirit, and all these, it's just this amazing place. He loves these people. It's a similar place, a very spiritual place here, a place where people have heard and responded to the Word of God. And yet, he doubles down on it in verses 15 to the end of chapter 1. He doubles down and he says, God, move. Move. These are people who are already saved. These are very spiritual people. You got to know that, because this is vital. You got to know that he loves these people. They love him. They love God. They love the brethren. They're full of faith. And listen to what he prays for them. Verse 15, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, he's heard of this faith, and your love for all the saints, love God, love people. I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. Here's what he prays, that the God of our Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, all authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of the Lord. And so all of these people who are saved, he says, God, I just ask you for these things. I ask that you give them a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, and that their eyes may be enlightened, that the eyes of their heart may be enlightened, the eyes of their heart may be opened. And this is like foundational stuff, right? You know, we're going to go on the streets. We're the people that we know, we pray for their eyes to be, the eyes of their heart to be open. But what about amongst ourselves? What about amongst our families? And so he's heard of their faith, and they know. It's like, oh, you know what? You know Jesus? Yeah, I know Jesus. Okay, cool. And like, we're good. Pound it. You know Jesus? Cool. We're good. What's up? We're brothers. True. Yes. But there's always more. No matter how long you walk with Christ, you want to be in a place where you're knowing him more. I would argue that the longer you know, the longer that you've walked with Christ, the more you understand how little you know. Okay? Okay? Listen, I'm a youngin'. To some of you. I'm old compared to some of you. Sorry. I'm like, it could be your grandfather. No, I'm just kidding. But in reality, like, I don't know a lot. And, like, I try and remind myself, I can be arrogant sometimes. I'm, like, a cerebral person. Like, I know stuff. But the longer I'm like, oh, yeah, I know that. But, like, do I know it? Is it part of me? Do I operate in that? Do I see that? Do I experience that in my daily walk, in my praying time, in the times where I pray, and when I pray with brothers and sisters? Do we understand how he works? Do we understand how Jesus works? That he could take a man who is in a terrible place or in some sort of addiction. I don't know Tom's story. I don't know where he went. I don't know his story completely. But he referenced part of it where it's like he came through this, and this, you know, this ministry of pulling people out of addiction is so near and dear to his heart. Could you take a man? Do we know how he works? Do we take a man who is so broken and yet becomes restored? And now is using all of that for the good of the kingdom. And we know that. And then one time, and Tom's like, oh, it triggered my addiction. And we're like, oh, he's still got a problem? Get over it. Because God is still at work. Do you understand how he works? He saves. And the process of sanctification and restoration is a process. Do we understand that? Are we praying for that? Because there's parts of our lives, there's parts of my wife's life, there's parts of my life that I want her to pray. What do we say? I don't even know what to say. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to be enlightened. I want to know, oh, you know what? This doesn't even make sense anymore. What happened? I don't know. What? Everything seemed, we did all the right things. We went through all the right processes. We checked all the, we read all the right books. We said all the right prayers. And now what do we need? We need God to move in our hearts so that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, that he would pour out on us in this day a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Because the more that we know God, the more we can fulfill our purpose. It's not even the more we know about God. It's the more that we know him. It's not that we know his favorite color. It's not that we know, you know, here's what he said. I could quote, you know, John 11:35. Jesus wept. It's like, okay, cool. We can quote this. But is it in our hearts? And when we pray for our families, is it in theirs? We need this prayer because no matter how many Bible studies we do, this is so important. It is important. I'm not downgrading that. But what I'm saying is the found underlying all of that in the way that you properly raise your children, the way that you are a proper spouse to your husband or wife, whatever. We need to leave these interactions and say, God, open the eyes of the heart. My son, enlighten him. Show him yourself. I remember when my kid's 5 and 3. Back in my day, it was a couple years ago, when after they were born, and we would just, I would, for bedtime, we would sit in the rocker and we would just be rocking them, and they would just be like lying on my chest. And I would hum to them, and I would just, when they were like close to falling asleep, I just the number one prayer that I just remember praying is like, God, save this child. What can I do? I can teach them scripture. I can raise them in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, but I can't save them. I can't reveal you to them in their heart. They go to VBS. It's kind of like a, it is a concern. It's something that I am aware of because I love my children. I get so many great compliments about how my children are great helpers with communion and all this other stuff, and I love that. And I just want to make sure that when they leave my house, that they're not just like, I know how to do good things to get by, but everything out of them is because they know who God is and that they trust who he is because he has revealed himself to them. And for my parents, for my sister, her husband, like everybody. So we pray this for our family continually. And yes, you know what, this is, it's, you know, can be used in two ways. Like, we want to pray for unbelievers. We want to pray for people who don't know God. We want, God has to reveal himself to somebody for them to know him, to be saved, to say, yes, Jesus is Lord. I want that. Just like they were talking about with, what was her name? Maria. And that's, she's like, I want that. And he needs to move and to like make that person come alive. But it, like, I can't stress this enough. In this context, it's so fascinating because it's like he's praying for believers for their eyes of their heart to be open. And when, even think about your, in your family settings, if you have a brother or a sister or in-laws or your parents or whoever that you're dealing with, that you're like, you know what, I would expect better than you because you've been walking with God for a long time. It's like we're so quick to criticize and condemn, but we all slip up. We all get distracted. We got a billion things going on. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes it's just like an emotional thing, whatever. And instead of looking at somebody's actions and just like destroying them, the one thing I really love that, something I really love about you people, is that it is like, you know what, even in this action that I feel like was done against me, there's something else beyond that. There's something behind that. There's something that like you're trying to fill a void. You're trying to do something. And so when I deal with like close people, friends or family, it's like, you know what? I don't appreciate the way that this interaction's going, but I just pray that God would reveal himself to you in this situation and that in your brokenness, he would make it whole and that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened so that you understand that he's working and that you don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be worried. You don't need to be whatever else is underlying there. But we can have this conversation. But beyond all that, I just pray that God would overwhelm you with the knowledge of him and that it's going to be okay. And that the things that is the strife between us, like we're going to work through it. But there's going to be, I'm not here to criticize and condemn and put you down for those things. Like, we need to figure this stuff out. But at the same time, we need to know him more. We need to go to him. We need to know him more. I was talking to my mother-in-law again all the time. We talk all the time. I'm just kidding. I guess that's not a bad thing, but we talk. I don't really know where I'm going with that. But we were talking about like something that happened a couple months ago, and we're like, you know what? Like, we can go after this person and be like, here's what you did wrong in this situation, and just lay it out. You did this, you said this, you acted like this, and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you know what? We can bring those things to their attention. But behind the scenes, what's actually going to cause a greater change is not, hey, here's all the bad things that you've done. Hey, here's all the ways that you acted inappropriately. Hey, here's all the ways that we didn't like how you talked to us. Okay, fine. Yes. Cool. I'm not against that. But if that's the end of it, we're missing it. Because, yes, but then what else is... I just pray, dude, that you don't need to be so XYZ. That you would be content instead of continually striving to impress. That you would be fulfilled and satisfied in who God is and not like work so hard to be liked. Do you understand that? Yes? This a couple guys over here. Do you guys understand that? That we have behavior things, but underlying that, it's like these are symptoms of a greater battle, and God needs to enlighten the eyes of your heart. I'm gonna say that 50 bajillion more times. Just kidding. We're running out of time. Okay. Yes, 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 yes. This is how we love. You know, Jesus tells the parable of the older brother. You guys know that one? In Luke chapter 15. And he sets, it's really, you might know it by the parable of the prodigal son. And we're like, oh, the lost come back. And that makes sense. You know, the first parable in that chapter is about the lost sheep. Somebody's got 100 sheep and they lose one and they find it. They pumped? Who's pumped about? Raise your hand if you're pumped about finding a lost sheep. This is my impression of Jesus back in the day. Don't shout me down. And then he's like, no, this lady had 10 coins and she lost one and then she spent all night cleaning her house and then she found it and she's like, hey, everybody come have a party. Right? So 100 to 10. He's like, a man has two sons. and he loses one. One of them is like, give me what's mine. I'm going to go party. Father's like, I'm going to write you this check. Here you go. This is your half of the inheritance. And he leaves, and it's a terrible situation. He realizes that he's better off as a slave in his father's house, and he comes home, and there's rejoicing. Everybody's rejoicing when a lost son comes home. Chapter 15, it starts like this, just to give you context, which I should have done before. Now, all the tax collectors and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. Jesus. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. And he tells a story. It's like, yeah, who's not pumped about a lost thing? It's like, you don't get it. The Gentiles and the people who don't know God, they need to know him. And when they return home, and the eyes of their hearts are enlightened, that's what we're celebrating. And he says, he talks about the older brother, and this older brother's like, dude, dad, what's your deal? Like, I've been here so long, I've done all the right things. I've done all the right things. You've never given me a goat so I could throw a party with my friends. And the father's like, don't you get it? You've been with me the whole time. You've been with me. And this is what I'm saying. Like, when my children leave, when my the daily basis, when I think about what I can pray for my wife, for you guys, for other people who are on my list currently, that I'm like, God, what do these people need? And I look, and I don't know everything in anybody's life, and I don't know everything about your life. But to think that just because you have a religious appetite sitting in church in America on a Sunday is not enough. Because this warning that Jesus gives is like, listen, you're with the Father, but you didn't really know him. You're his son, but you didn't really get it. And that's, Paul is like, all of these amazing things that have happened in Christ, but I just pray that he continues to pour out a spirit of wisdom and of knowledge in him so that that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened to know him, knowing God, and praying that our children and everybody in our family would know him is vital. Pulling that down from the spirit, from the heavens, so God has something to use to make happen here. Last thing. Yeah, we'll skip page two. You got time for page two? No, we're not doing page two today. Actually, let me say four more things. This thing is going, huh? Maybe I'll come back. By a round of applause, who wants me to come back? Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. No. That was a setup. I don't know. I have to think about it. Build my ego. Let's be persistent. I admitted this last week after hearing Neil's message, which is amazing. Go back and listen to it many times. Your vocabulary will expand. But we need to be persistent continually as our children they grow out of our house, they're adults. As our brothers and sisters get older, like, I have these conversations. I mean, I've had them with my son, he's five, and I'm like, listen, there's going to come a day when you're going to need to learn something, blah, 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 whatever it is. And I was like, you know what? When he was three, I was like, listen, Adam, there's going to come a day when you're going to need to learn. And he's 3 years old, and it's like, it's not getting in there. I mean, even now, I'm like, well, who is this kid? This morning, we were praying before church, and he's like, Dad, can I smell your breath? And I was like, what is wrong with you? There's going to come a day, son, where you're going to realize that that is gross. It's just not today. But when he's six, when he's 10, and we're having a life conversation, I'm going to say, okay, listen, this is a lesson. And there's going to come a day when you're going to need to learn. And when he's 18, and when he's 25, and when he's 50, it doesn't end. We need to be persistent in saying, God, you are just. Hear my cry, incline your ear towards me, and open the eyes of my child's heart. Open the eyes of their heart so that they would know you and continue on. And there's a so that. That's your homework for this week. You can read about the so that. But let's pray. Let's spend some time. Maybe we can get some music. I don't know if that. Yeah, you want to play? Yeah. We're winging it. We're professionals. We're professionals here. But let's focus on that. Maybe there's people in your life who are unsaved and they don't know you. And no matter how many times you've said, listen, Jesus loves you so much. I love you so much. It just doesn't get in there because they have a hardened heart. Maybe you need the opportunity to share it. And you're just like, Lord, enlighten their hearts before I even, enlighten the eyes of their hearts before I even get in there. Prepare a way. Bring those people to your mind right now. Like who, whether it's your family, whether even it's your children, who can sing all the VBS songs, who can do all those things, and can, again, it's great to sing those songs and have them meditate on that and the scripture that's in those songs. But Lord, would you open the eyes of their heart? I pray that you would give them a spirit of wisdom and of knowledge of you. We thank you for them. A wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of them. By revelation, Lord, show yourself to them. Reveal yourself to my son, Adam. Reveal yourself to my daughter, Natalie. Reveal yourself to my parents. Reveal yourself to my sister and her husband and their kids, and my other nieces and nephews. God's ear is inclined towards you, people. Who is it in your life? You can just ask him, Lord, I pray that you would pour out your spirit on this person. That they would know you, and that they would turn, that they would come alive, and that you would give them the strength to turn from their old ways and turn to you with new life. Lord, we pray for the people in Manchester who don't know you and who have made bad decisions. Whether they know it or not, Lord, it's not hard for you to break through and to interrupt their life and to show them who you are. Pour out your spirit and the love of Jesus and make him known to the people on the streets in Manchester. Make him known to the people who are running these treatment centers and sober houses. Maybe they're non-Christians, but they get that there's a problem. In addition to that, above all that, pour out your spirit on the people who are running that, so that in addition to these treatments, that they would provide the greatest gift of all, eternal life and knowing you. And Father, as we look at our families, we look at our spouses, we look at maybe parents who have raised us, we look at our maybe children, adult children, maybe we look at our brother, our sister, our brother-in-law, our sister-in-law, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews. Father, what about our neighbors? Godly neighbors who live on the same street as us, maybe in the same building as us? Lord, we lift them up to you. And we thank you for them. That we are surrounded by believers. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here in this room. Thank you that we're surrounded by believers. And I've heard and I've experienced the faith that they have in Jesus. And I've seen transformations in people in this room. And in my own family, Lord. Thank you for them. And I've seen their love, your love through them expressed, and how they love one another in an effort to create unity. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you for the people here. But Father, in addition to all that, I pray that you would give them a spirit of wisdom and of knowledge in the revelation of you. Continue to make yourself known to them. Take us deeper. Take them deeper. Secure them even more in your love. Show them how you work. Bring old memories to mind, God, and reveal to them how you are working through all those and that you were there with them. May they remember that they can trust you and that every forward step that they take, you're there with them. And God, enlighten the eyes of our hearts that we can see you, that we can see how you're working, that we can see that you've been with us, that you can see that you've been with our family, that you can see that your work is good, and that from the first humans, Adam and Eve, you had a plan. You had a plan after the fall of redemption that we would be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Open the eyes of our hearts. We could even know what that means for today. Make it a reality so that when we talk to and we work with and we look at and we spend time with our spouse, that we look at them as the gift that you've given to us, not as just my wife or my husband, but your son and daughter who you've entrusted to me. Same thing with our children. Can you open the eyes of our hearts so that when we hold them and when we talk to them, we treat them with respect and dignity because our hearts are just turned towards the fact that they're gifts from you to us that we steward for a short period of time. God, we thank you that you follow through and that you are faithful and that it's not by our work or the great words that we can say, but we trust you with our families because we trust that the work of Jesus on the cross was enough. We trust that the work of Jesus was enough to save, was enough to break every power of sin and death and destroy that curse. And in your word it says that you raised him up, seated at the right hand above all other powers, all authorities, all dominions, above every name that is named. And we, by no effort of our own, by no merit of our own, you have chosen to put us in him. Lord, bring our children in him. Bring our parents in him. Bring our brothers and our sisters in him to know the hope of his calling, to know what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us. God, we can't do it on our own. I pray that we would be diligent to obey, but not put our hope in our obedience, not put our hope in our works, not put our hope in our actions or our Bible studies or our catechisms, not put our hope in our homeschool curriculums or our school choices or our friend groups or our spouse's strengths. And we wouldn't put our hope in family times, in our vacation times, in the memories that we've created. But our hope is in you. Would you move in the lives of the people around us? We ask all these things in Jesus' mighty name.